Hello there, this is Eric Sinrod with my colleague Jonathan Armstrong, bringing you all things information technology and legal with your weekly Tech Law 10. And Jonathan, I understand you're about to be snowed in up there in Toronto, but while you're there north of the border, you're thinking of things from Asia. Why don't you talk to us?
Yes, thanks very much, Eric, and thanks all for listening again. I've just driven through Chinatown in Toronto, and you're right, we're headed for what apparently is going to be a 25-centimeter, so 10-inch snowfall tonight. So it is nice and cold and wintry here. But I have been thinking of warmer climes. Many of you will have seen the attacks this week, or the announced attacks, on a number of news organizations by, it seems, Chinese state-sponsored hackers. And I think this is something, I don't know about you, Eric, I'll ask you in a minute, that we're seeing more and more in our practice at the moment, that obviously having done information security stuff for 20 years or so, you've seen various forms of attack catch various people out, ranging from the, you know, the simple original Nigerian fraud emails that were badly worded and very clumsy, to the increasing sophistication of modern-day attacks. But it seems to me that the actual system that's used is still more or less the same. And the payload, as I understand it, for these current attacks was still delivered by the simple old email that people click on that then downloads software onto the device and then infiltrates its way into the network. And it seemed to me that there's a number of lessons to be learned from these attacks. Firstly, of course, we need not assume that the people who are running these attacks are amateurs, nor are they script kiddies sitting in their bedroom doing this for fun. It seems from these media attacks that they, perhaps coincidentally, came at the time when the two news organizations in question were digging around about the business interests of some Chinese politicians. And it seems as if these attacks were very specific, looking for information about these stories as they developed. And I think that we're seeing a prevalence of attacks which are looking, from my experience, at things like intellectual property. So going back, I suppose, to the Formula One engine espionage, we're seeing things directed at suppressing stories or finding out what somebody else knows. And we're seeing what you might euphemistically call enhanced due diligence, when people are doing joint ventures with organizations, perhaps state-owned in different parts of the world. You're seeing these attacks come to almost presumably look at negotiating position and look at the assets that are going to be rolled into a joint venture or whatever. And it seems to me that whilst we may think that that's unfair and not the way business is done, perhaps we're looking at that too much through Western eyes, because in some parts of the world that very much is the way business is done, and it is seen as legitimate research techniques rather than underhand tactics. So I think the message for businesses is obviously to be alert. In this case, it seems that these media organizations, if you'll excuse the pun, Eric, their firewall wasn't as good as their paywall, and they need probably the best way, I'm not saying it's a holistic solution, but the best solutions I've seen in corporations that have suffered these attacks is twofold. First of all, it's a technology answer to try and button down these attacks and get early warning of them when they happen. But secondly, and perhaps more importantly, just as these hackers are using social engineering, then so must we to defend ourselves. Many of these attacks are simple phishing emails. Some people call it spear phishing now, or whaling, because it's meant to be bigger prizes and more targeted. But it's still the old-fashioned email that people click on. We're seeing increased levels of sophistication. For example, these emails being directed to executives, telling them that they've been summoned to you know, answer proceedings in the Southern District of Texas or one of these courts where litigation is prevalent, telling them that they need to download the subpoena or download the summons now, very specifically targeted and hitting on the weak spots of executives who know that these are actions that they've got to take quickly and people are clicking on these emails without thinking. So it seems to me that this is a problem that's with us to stay. Obviously, lawyers have a role because some of these investigations you would like to be conducted properly and under legal professional privilege and so on. But it seems to me that prevention in these circumstances is going to be a much more realistic solution than cure. And I wondered if you had any views on that, Eric. Am I being paranoid or are you seeing that sort of thing too?
I think you're not at all being paranoid. I think you're being incredibly accurate and realistic. And it just goes to show, unfortunately, that, you know, as technology advances, so do the forces of evil. I mean, I hate to say so, but, you know, from time immemorial, there's always been a small subset of the human population that is interested in profiting by doing wrong. And some of these people from time immemorial have been extremely clever and continue to be. So I think your point about being defensive is absolutely right. It's not enough just to sit back and sort of remediate problems when they happen, but there has to be forethought in terms of staying ahead of the curve technologically as we get into new realms. And then I have a question. What is a script kiddie?
You don't have the terms? So script kiddies usually a techie individual, could be boy, could be girl, who traditionally sort of sits in their bedroom and just writes programs to hack sites for fun.
Interesting. Well, perhaps we have that expression. If we do, I'm in the dark, but that won't be the first time. So I think we're about hitting our 10 of the tech law 10. So, Jonathan, that was a very good description of the problem. So thank you for doing that and taking the lead on it. As you know, this is your weekly Tech Law 10. I'm Eric Sinrod in San Francisco with Dwayne Morris. Jonathan Armstrong is in our London office, keeping things going in the UK, although he moves around. That's why he's in Toronto right now. My email address is ejsinrod@dwaynemorris.com. As you know, you can find us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. We're ubiquitous on the Internet. Jonathan, you want to round it out?
Yeah, jparmstrong@dwaynemorris.com. All that remains is to say thanks for listening. For those of you who are up in the North Americas with me, stay warm, travel safely, and we'll speak to you in a week or so.
Thank you.